Hi everyone and welcome to the Curve Mindset Podcast with McGinley Coaching. I'm your co-founder and host, Laurie McGinley. Today we're joined by Leanne Conroy. How are you, Leanne? You okay?
I'm very good, Laurie. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, thanks. It's nice and sunny, which in November is very rare, but I know you're not in the UK, so it must be even better for this situation. But I'm just wondering if you could tell the listeners and people kind of background about yourself and the industry you work in.
Yeah, so I work in the fitness industry. I've been a coach for around 7 years now, which just, I can't believe it goes so, so fast. I mainly work with women. Well, I do just work with women. I've never worked with a man in my life, but we mainly kind of focus on helping women in their kind of 30s to 50s to get fitter, to get healthier, to find more confidence in themselves, and also just to kind of be around like-minded women as well. Like, I think that's something that I really lacked when I was younger, to actually be around women who would want to lift you up and make you feel amazing and tell you can accomplish amazing things. And like, a lot of women don't have those kind of people around them, so for me to bring all these wonderful women together and to lift each other up, it's amazing, not only changing how they look and their confidence, but also how it makes them grow within their work and their career and their relationships. So that's basically what I do.
Yeah, because your mantra is, I stole this from your LinkedIn, this is how much I wasn't LinkedIn stalking, it was just English, but it says, I coach ambitious women who want to get back into shape, build more confidence and thrive to be the best version of themselves. Now, we could build 3 hours into this podcast, but the most important thing is, see if you have that confidence in yourself, get into the shape, you know, with other people around you, and then being the best version of yourself. Like, how do you try and keep that momentum going, that motivation? Because every single person's different, all right? And obviously different women have kind of different needs, and there's different, same as men too. But I was really interested because we'll talk about the kind of sports industry in a little bit later on, but how do you try and keep that momentum going? You know, because it's very hard to, in the fitness industry, one day you're doing really well, then the next day you've got, oh, I can't do a session because I've got to do this and that. I'm just wondering how you, as a coach, deal with people to build them up more. Is it more to do with the mental side or the physical side?
A bit of both.
Yes,
and I think there's a lot of things that we could go into there with that. But for me, the biggest thing is always just focusing on the person and what is realistic for them, and their lifestyle, their family, if they've got kids, if they've got a really demanding job, or like what they've got going on in their life. The biggest part for me is making sure fitness complements their life, doesn't complicate it. So if we can get a program where, I think like when you do things online and you go on Google and you find programs or you see celebrity diets and you try and follow it, it's completely unrealistic. It doesn't suit them in any way, and then they fail and fail and fail. So my job is to kind of cut it all back, dumb it all down, and be like, right, what can you realistically do in your week with your kids, with work and all these crazy things that you've got going on, and make it doable. And by making it doable, they're seeing that they're winning, they're being more consistent, they're actually enjoying it, they're being successful, that then they want more of that. And I can always say to my clients, like, when they're not in a good place and they feel really crap, when you start feeling good about yourself, you don't ever go back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never want to go back to that low place.
And going back to, because I've been doing this for 15 years coaching, right? And I've been at high levels, low levels, you know, worked in different jobs. And it's the biggest thing I always think is, how much can I invest in myself to be better? All right, financially, time, sacrifice. I talked with a group earlier about this. And the biggest thing they said was, I struggle because I don't believe that I can achieve something more, because it might take me 6 months to do this, it might take me 9 months. And I always say, can you be the best version of yourself today, so therefore you're better than yesterday, but you can improve tomorrow? Also, if you improve yourself by 0.01%, that's still an improvement. And this is where I work with a lot of children and youth, and see when things don't go right away, it's, oh, it's a shell, I don't know what to do. but I see the person beside me is better than me. I said, never compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to what you can achieve. And this is really interesting about goal setting, because you have to set the goals for them, but also you need to listen to them, which is the biggest thing, because we've got 2 ears and one mouth, but we usually talk more than we listen. But the human side of this is really interesting. How do you try and set the goals for the your clients, but also yourself? Because I will talk about it, kind of marathons, and the I know the Joe, you know, is a, yeah. absolute. Do I say he's a bit of a freak of nature? Pretty much, you know. We'll talk about that later on. But I'm just wondering how you set the clients, and also you. How do you develop yourself? How do you invest in yourself?
Okay, cool, awesome. So in terms of the clients, again, it's coming down to where they are and what they want to achieve. Everybody I work with is so kind of different in some degree. I've got some clients who train at home, so obviously setting like goals at home can be quite challenging. And then we've got clients that love going to the gym. For me, like, I know deep down they all want to be smaller and feel better in their clothes and feel good that way. Like, everybody does want that, but we try and get them focusing more on how they're feeling and how they want to feel, maybe for like an event. It could be a holiday, it could be a wedding, it could be anything, but we try and get them visualizing like how they want to kind of feel for that day. How they want to feel inside, not just how they want to look, but they want to be happier, they want to have more energy, they want to feel good, and just try to really kind of drive that home on their weekly check-ins, like, how are you feeling? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling tired? So that we can keep them noticing that they're actually doing really well, because I think when you start seeing results within your lifestyle, you build on that, don't you? So it's getting them to track and notice that all these little things that they're doing are adding up to this better version of them that they want to become. But it's also having some fitness goals as well. Like, we were all having a chat last week with our members, and we were saying like how when you get a really good deadlift, or I think being female as well, when you're lifting heavy and you get stronger, you're like, yes, I can come like do anything at work today, or I can actually handle the kids today. And you just feel like you've got so much more about you when you're seeing those numbers go up in the gym. You're seeing like little things in your lifestyle improve, and then we're maybe seeing the scales move or measurements move, but we just get them to really notice what they are doing and what they are seeing. And like, it's positive reinforcement, isn't it? Yeah. Rather than being like, you're not doing that workout, you're doing terrible with your food, negative reinforcement, negative results. So we're like, you're doing this right, you're doing that right, let's next week, let's add to that. And exactly like you said, Laurie, like looking at the person on day one and just trying to move the needle any week that we can to beat that girl in week one. That's who the person that we're always looking at, and that's the person that we're always trying to be better than. So that's what we kind of do with our clients. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. So we'll talk about you in a second, but this is a really interesting thing. So I work in football, all right, and that is results-based, a lot of it, but in the kind of top end, and then you've got the tiny tots where if they can do a toe tap, which is obviously we call a Hulk smash or something, that's them. Or the one where they bounce the ball up, catch it, and that's a brilliant result. You know, like I say, you're all superheroes, you all have that way of thinking. But flipping around here, the results. So I'm very much a process. I believe in you built. See, I had a discussion with my assistant manager last night, and I said it's night and day from when I came in to what I did. And I've not really done anything different. I've just kind of set the standards, but also set the way of thinking. There's a clear way, and we can pass the ball, we can turn the ball. Last night, the ball was getting pinged left, right, and centre. It was great. But everything I do is positive reinforcements. But sometimes you have to be a little bit harsh, a little bit like, I'm going to get in the neck here because you've not done what I've asked you to do. But obviously slightly different in the potential in the fitness industry. But I'm just trying to see how, so you talk about positive reinforcement, and when things don't go right away, how do you try and keep that person motivated? You know, because you see the scales, they sometimes lie, sometimes don't lie. That's the different thing. But the person's mindset is always, oh, I've done really well. So let's say I deadlifted 100 kilos, right? But I've been doing that, deadlifted 100 kilos for 4 weeks now. I can't get that 100.25. How do you try and keep that motivation going, because as humans, we always want to improve, but when we don't get things right away or in the small free time, we tend to go backwards or stay still. I'm just wondering, from a kind of working with a kind of female kind of point of view, because obviously I've worked in women's football too. I'm just wondering how you kind of deal with people more likely.
It was a long question. No, it's all good. Like, I think the thing is like, you kind of notice when a client's not being themselves, and when they're kind of maybe leaning back and they're maybe having a bit of a tough time, and that's a moment for me to really sit down and have a conversation and be like, what are you struggling with here? Like, what's going on? What can we help you with? And like you said at the very start there about listening, I think that's always the strongest thing, because I know at the end of the day, our ladies have other things going on in their life. Like their fitness isn't their world. There's other stuff going on and other stresses going on. And sometimes just being able to kind of feel listened to can be so, so freaking powerful for us to find the real problem, which could be related back to their childhood when something kind of happened and they're bringing that habit back in again. And we're just like, okay, we really notice what's going on here. So like, how can we get you back into that positive place that you had 2 weeks ago to get back into that as quick as we possibly can, and really recognising what the deep problem is that we have. And it's also for me as well, like when our ladies first start, I state at the very beginning, this is not going to be easy. There's going to be tough times, and if you're cruising, we're not pushing hard enough. Like, this is not like right. It's going to be tough. You're going to get injured. You're going to get unwell. Like, things are going to get in the way, but I need you to just keep giving it your best and to always look at what we can control. So like, if things in life are kind of shooting you down and you are ill and you're injured, then it's like, okay, we can still look at your food, and just giving them that evidence that they are still getting results, even though they're not maybe motivated. And it's normal to not feel motivated. Nobody does. And there has always been weeks with your female and your cycle where you're like clearly not motivated to go and train, but it's about talking to them about that. Like, well, if we do exercise, how are you going to feel after that? And trying to not think about the motivation, but the reward that you get after is what we think about first, rather than like, I need motivation to go to the gym. It's like, I know after the gym, I'm going to feel like XYZ, and that's why I need to get it done. Thinking about the reward at the end, not the action that you need to take, is what I try and enforce and teach and educate by doing and learning from failure and learning from struggle.
Okay, so let's talk about you, all right? And a lot of people struggle to talk about themselves. I don't, apparently, according to my wife. But you talk about failure, okay? And I always say to my players, so we played from the back. We always play can you, and I always say, if you hide, okay, then you're not taking... There's two things that will happen, all right? If you hide, you're on your heels, and therefore you might get... lose the ball, and you're going to get blamed for something, alright? Not from me, from the peers around you, okay? So what I say to them very much is, if you can take the ball, alright, as a footballer or as anyone, you can take the pressure, okay, from the defender, or you can turn with the ball, and then for you're stepping on, so you're putting pressure on the opponent. So this is what I try to say to them, failure. I'd rather you guys fail at something that you are confident in than not. Okay, so I know that you've done a lot of work with kind of the fitness of industry. Sorry, fitness industry. Can't speak today, but I'm just wondering. See, how do you deal with failure? All right, how do you keep that motivation? Because we as humans have imposter syndrome, a lot of it. We can tell everyone we're amazing, how amazing we are and all this. 5 minutes later thinking, oh, can't be bored. You know what I mean? Like, and we all feel like that sometimes, but it's about gritting your teeth sometimes and doing something you don't like to make you better. So I'm just wondering how you deal with failure. How do you deal with the people around? How do you use the people around you to make you better?
Yeah, so failure, like you've just kind of said, I think it's always a moment to learn about yourself, or there's always going to be a positive outcome that comes from failure to some way, and it might not feel it like when you're in it, but maybe maybe a couple of months down the line, you'll be like, wow, that was one of the best things that could have happened to me. And I think you only get better at failure by failing more. And I've always been someone since a very young age where I've had to, for example, I've probably had to sit my driving test twice, I failed my provisional, and I feel like I always fail at things, and once I do it the second time round, I know it a hell of a lot better, and I'm a hell of a lot better at it, and it sticks with you more when you repeatedly have to kind of do things. And sometimes when you fail, it gives you a royal kick in the ass to step it up and do better, and to push better next time as well. So like, I feel for me personally, I failed a lot, that when I get fail now, of course it sucks. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
Oh no! The majority of people who listen are Scottish, so everyone just swears anyway. So, but
don't worry.
There's a lot worse people have said. So.
Yeah, it totally does suck when you fail, of course it does, but I think it's always going, right, okay, what can I learn from this, and how can I improve that, and how can I prevent it next time? So for me personally, I actually was going to do my first marathon this year. Like, I've never been a runner, never really been hugely great at running, and then during COVID, do you remember the whole 5k for the NHS, yeah, and you donate 5 or something? Like, I had so many members like tagging me in it, so I was like, right, okay, I need to do this now. And from there, we ended up doing an online half marathon for all our members, because so many things got cancelled, so we put on a half one, and obviously I had to do it with them. So we did like a virtual half marathon, which was amazing, and then that's eventually led to me going, right, okay, I've done half, so why not do a full? But sadly, maybe with like 8 weeks to go, I got injured, and I did everything I possibly could to try and come back from this injury, and then it got to a stage where I was just told that you can't do it. You've either got a split abdominal or you've got a hernia, which means you need to get a scan, you need to stop running, and it's a no-go.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm female, and men can cry too, but of course I had a couple of days and a couple of weeks where I was upset and frustrated by it, heartbroken by it, with all the effort that I put in. But it's that way that it's okay. Like, it's sometimes these things happen, like I said, and you just need to kind of find that positive from it, do the work. I'm doing the rehab, I'm doing the focus, because this injury could happen at any time. Yes, it's happened now, but it's something now that I know I need to fix, because it could have caused more problems down the line, for example. But yeah, I think it's just always like, yeah, you could be a moody bastard about it and upset everybody in the household and be miserable, and nobody wants to be around you when you're miserable, or you're just like, it is what it is, it's fine, it's not the end of the world, it's just a marathon. Again, sometimes for you it's just a game of football, and some people, like, I think I was listening to something quite recently when they were saying it's just a game, it's just a game of football, and men taking it so seriously, don't they, and they make it all or everything, and that can really affect your mental health and your family life, and it is really kind of narrowing it down. Like, it's just a game of football at the end of the day.
You're right. This is why I wanted to speak to you about these things, because people are real, but then there's actually just human, you know, connection here. Because you'd probably heard, obviously I've coached the football for a long time, but when I was 10, I had viral encephalitis, I had meningitis of the brain. I shouldn't be alive talking to you, but this positive way of, like, I just got a newsletter through from the Encephalitis Society featuring me in it, and I thought, oh, brilliant. But I was like, oh God, how can I help the next person? What's that? But the one thing is, all right, to be fair, I failed my driving license twice, so I'm in the third one, so I passed it the third time. But but it's about the biggest thing I think we look at is when we are sad, when we are angry, when we are dealing with people. And people, I always say there's people who are worse off than me, way worse, so stop them. But then why can't we complain sometimes about things? Why can't we moan? Why can't we just go, do you know what, I want to go for an hour's walk. Like, I go every morning, I go out religiously at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30, for an hour, and if it's pissing down the rain, I'll go out. If it's sunny, I'll go out. This ain't bother. But that's my routine. That gets me my podcast on, I put a hat on, even if it's 40 degrees, because I don't want to talk to anyone in that hour. And that's the selfish part of me, probably. But see, when you've had an injury, or you've, like, you do a course or a license and you feel like absolute rubbish. But the one thing is, It's the, how do you, the feedback. If it's not great feedback, you're going to annoy people. Get better feedback. Get better information. Because it's like someone said to me, if you've got a gym membership, you paid £19.99 and you've been to the gym twice in that month, it's basically costing you £10 to go to the gym when you could literally go four times and it'll cost you a quarter of the price. Or if my math's right, but it might be better. But, but I'm just looking to see, the. I know that you're quite honest with a lot of these things. When you had that injury, all right, how did you obviously, we know that Joe's very driven as a business person and he's extremely fit, that kind of thing. But do you think having people around you that are truthful with you, that is the best way than people who BS you or not yes people? Or do you think it's good to have a bit of both? You know, a little bit of, I know that's a bit controversial, but I think we're getting to that stage where I have to have a look. This discussion's went completely, the questions have went out the window and it's more of a, let's have a thing. I'm just, I think the world we live in, the both both have to deal with people. But the most important thing is you need to trust yourself. And that must be the hardest thing in the world sometimes, when you know you're right, but the other people around you are saying you're wrong. And then you start to step back and realise, I might be right, I might be wrong, but having that gut instinct, do you think that's the kind of key aspect in this kind of overall kind of situation that we're kind of in the moment?
Yeah, like back to like kind of like what you were asking there about like with Joe or whatever, and people like that around me to give you maybe some tough love or not. I think like me and Joe have this conversation all the time, and it is all coming back down to like listening to the person, because sometimes I do just want a vent. I don't want an answer. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want tough love. Sometimes you just want to be heard and to like voice how you're feeling. So sometimes I'll say to Joe, like, I know you're going to give me some strategy here and some feedback. I don't want it right now. I just want to be heard, and I just want to speak, and I just want to vent, and I just want you to listen and understand, because sometimes that can make me feel better when I feel like that. Or sometimes it is like, Leanne, like, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, this could be better. So we do work as a team that way to kind of really understand what each of us kind of need when we kind of need it, rather than just like tough love, because that's not going to suit everybody. It really isn't. And that's when I think everything does come down to you, the single person and where they're at. But working on a larger scale, it's very difficult. Like, you can't just kind of, it depends what you're kind of asking. So we did chat before our kind of call today, and like the way the world is right now and people maybe kind of obesity crisis and stuff like that, and how we get people moving more in a more positive way is like to help everybody. I think that's a big challenge, because there is so many different, everybody takes information in different ways, don't they? And I think it's really hard to just focus on each individual and get them what they need. So it's a very difficult position to kind of be in just now, for sure.
Yeah. So mindset, that's the kind of thing. We've got 10 minutes left. I think we'll have to do a part two, so I might have to just stop this if that's okay with you. And we'll just, if that, all right. So mindset, that's the kind of biggest thing. We'll talk about that, then we'll have a 2 minute break, and then we'll go into another part of the other equation, if that's okay. But growth and fixed. Why do you think people struggle with tasks that will improve their mindset? Why do you think people find it difficult to help themselves a little bit more? Do you think it's a fear factor, or do you think it's more, I'm going to, again, failure? Or do you think it's like maybe showing face a little bit more? Because it's an interesting topic at the moment, because we, as you said, keep people moving. But again, keep people moving is very difficult. But if we can help that 1% in the society we're in, do you think that'll help you as a coach become better? Or do you, and the people around you? Or do you think people just have that kind of mindset of, it's just too hard sometimes?
Yeah, I think everybody's comfort zone is different.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Like, yeah. Some people are willing to be kind of pushed and to grow, and some people are happy. Like, listen, like, I'm a very normal gal. Like, I would love just being with my doggy and gardening and knitting, and I love that style of life. But there is also that huge part of me that loves growth as well. So I'm very conflicted that way, where I can see people can just be like, you know what, I just want to live my life like this. This is all I want to do, and I'm happy. And that's fantastic. But I think the real problem is if you're unhappy and you're not changing anything, then that's the kind of real problem there, where you do need to kind of push more into growth. But I think there's probably, like you said, there probably is fear as an aspect, but it's probably also information. Sometimes there's too much freaking information out there that it does stop you from taking action because you don't know what to kind of do next. And maybe it is, like you said as well earlier, like it's your peers, it's the people around you. And I think it's really, really good to, like they say, if you look at the five people around you, what are they doing? Are they getting bevied at the weekend? Are they like self-critical? Do they bring you down, or do they energize you and lift you up and push you and motivate you? And if you know your friends are not making you feel good and you're almost dreading seeing them and you feel exhausted after seeing them, then you know you need to change your peer group, you need to change your boardroom and get people around you that are interested in growth to kind of help you grow. Because if you don't, you're just going to keep pulling down. So surrounding yourself with the right people, I think that does help people get into that growth mindset, but also see what is actually achievable and doable. Because when I was younger, I would never have known this career existed. I would never have really thought about being healthier and fitter because I was west of Glasgow, like like Whitecrook, like very kind of council estate, and that was the belief system there. And I'm so far from that now, but that's just been steps I've took in my life to get me to here. But when you start meeting new people and what they do, you're like, wow, there's so much more to the world than I did have in my little bubble here. So I think if people are in their bubble and they're happy, great. But if you're not happy in your bubble, it's like, who can you speak to? Who can you meet? Who can you learn from to start getting the steps to growth that you want to see?
Yeah. Well, leave it for part one now, so I'm going to just...